could you put your
Blog Talk your Radio
church and what you do at your church in the chat for me? Ministry. It's a Wednesday evening, and we're getting ready to start our Bible study. It is 7:04. Tonight we have Minister Astrid Wilson, who will be joining us and bringing the word. Astrid Wilson comes from Macedonia Baptist Church, where she serves in ministry as the leader of intercessory prayer. She has received her education from Emory University Chandler School of Theology with a Master's of Divinity. Her concentration is society, personality, formation, and witness, as well as leadership in the church and community. She also holds a certificate in Black Church Studies. She reigns from Monroe, Louisiana. Thank you. I hope you all can hear me. I know you're used to hearing my husband's voice, but we're trying something different. So we're going to begin with prayer. We have a lot of folks that are joining us this evening. We have more than we usually have, which is a blessing. It's a blessing. We welcome you here to Blog Talk Radio. We welcome you here with New Beginnings, and we're on Zoom and Blog Talk. And it's always an interesting discussion, interesting time, and very fulfilling, spiritually fulfilling for all of us. We're developing some great relationships across the airwaves, and we're all over the country and some outside the country. So praise the Lord. If you have any prayer requests and you're on Zoom, you can add it to the Zoom line. If you have any prayer requests, you can also put your prayer requests in chat. Message. We have the number you can call to text if you're texting a prayer request. The number is 440-940-6734. Again, that's 440-940-6734 if you'd like to text a prayer request. Other than that, you can send one on Zoom in the chat. Okay. We also want to share with you our Cash App. If you want to be a blessing to New Beginnings Ministry, you can Cash App us a donation at $ N as in Nancy, B as in boy, M as in man, and then Clay, C-L-A-Y. That's New Beginnings Ministry, N-B-M, Clay. $ N-B-M, Clay. Okay, we're going to go on and get started. Father God, we praise your name, dear Lord, and we thank you for this time again on this rain Wednesday here. We thank you, Lord, for this time together with the saints and those that are searching, Father God, online. We ask you, Lord, that you would calm our spirits, calm our homes, Father God, and our settings, Father God, so there be no distractions, Lord, so that we can be completely attentive to the message that go forth this evening, dear Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless the families and the households that are represented this evening online, those that have been with us at any time, Father God, and those that are coming. We thank you, dear Lord, and praise you. Father God, we ask for a special blessing, Father God, for our children that are returning to school, Father God, that they be safe, Father God, that they are covered by the blood as they walk to and fro from school buses, Father God. We ask you, Lord, that they are ready and they come equipped, Father God, to learn, Father God, to be there in the seats, Father God, to receive the knowledge that is being passed down, Father God. I ask you, Lord, to separate foolishness from our kids, Father God. We ask, Lord, for a protection around the schools, Father God, that not one fiery dart from the enemy and not one imp be able to cross the threshold of our schools, Father God. We ask you, Lord, for a report, Father God, where these trouble in the school is going down, Father God. We ask you, Lord, for confirmation. We ask you, Father God, to just lift up prayer warriors and the families, Father God, to lay hands on their children, to anoint their children before even walking out the door, Father God, before they even get on the school bus, Father God, that they are anointed and covered in prayer before they go out. In Jesus' name, we pray and thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for all of those, Father God, that are in need of healing, dear Lord. We ask you, Lord, and Father God, that they would be from all pain and discomfort, burdened by saints that are asked to pray. We thank you, Lord, for the saints, for the intercessors, and those who are praying for healing for us, Father God.
Yes,
God. We stress again how important it is for those that are seeking healing, those that are in the depth. They need the encouragement, Father God, and to be able to grasp it and to be able to hear the word going forth. So as we pray for those, Father God, that are ill, as we pray for those, Father God, that need healing, as we pray for those, Father God, who have received poor reports from the doctors, Father God, we ask you, Lord, to help us to keep them shored up and to help them to stand, Father God, in prayer. That they hear this prayer, Father God, and the prayers of other saints and people that care and that care for them in the name of Jesus. We praise you and thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for every parent that's here on the line, for every teacher and educator that's here on the line, that you go forth. This is your time. This is your season. Continue to do what you have been called to do. In Jesus' name we praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I turn the mic over to Minister Wilson right now. Minister Wilson, welcome to New Beginnings Ministry.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It is a pleasure to be with you all tonight. So good evening, and all things we first reverence God, and we adore him for allowing us to gather in his presence and in the power of his most holy name. I am honored to bring you greetings from Macedonia Baptist Church in Monroe, Louisiana, where my pastor is none other than Pastor Montrell Z. Bradley. And in this moment, I just want to reflect on his words that none of us are worthy to call to the call we have to preach the sacred gospel, but we should feel honored every time God extends the invitation to feed his people. So with that, thank you to Dr.
Clay and Dr. Susanna Clay for tonight's invitation. I am always, always humbled and honored when I receive an invitation to come share and teach God's word with you all. God bless my pastor, his absence, who's currently teaching Bible study. We have Bible study at the same time as well. And thank you to my Macedonia Church family for their constant support and love for being here. I know a lot of them called in. Some of them are here on Zoom. So thank you so much for coming out to share with me as God moves in me. Thank you to my fellow clergymen and clergywomen who teach, preach, and evangelize this holy word. Thank you to my family, my friends. And no matter what point we have joined in life, that you are still with me, connected with me. And I thank you for also calling in tonight to share your time as we go to God in this study. And I am forever humbled by each person and who gives their willingness to join with me as we all seek God concerning his words of his people. So with that, we'll just go ahead and pray. God, we thank you right now for being God, for being on the throne, for giving us all instruction, Lord God. We thank you, God, for directing us in the path of righteousness, God. We thank you, Lord God, that, God, you are on the throne, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
You order our steps. So right now, give us a mind to hear, a mind to receive, Lord God, to understand speaking to us, God. God, we thank you for being God all by yourself, for in the name of Jesus. Illuminate our pathway, Lord God, that we can walk in the way of righteousness. We can walk in the fullness of you. We can receive instruction, God, and the necessary correction that will bring life and produce life everlasting, that we can go forward in the fullness of you, Lord God. Let your word, oh Lord God, shine upon our pathways, Lord God. Let our eyes be, oh Lord God, gifted with the fullness of you. We're asking for your presence, God, right now to fall fresh in this place on every single listener, Lord God, every ear, Lord God. Let us hear you, God, and seek your truth. We thank you and we honor you, and it's in Jesus' name. If you could with me, I know that the message said I was going to read 17 and 18, but as I was studying, I had nothing for 17 and 18 when I had started at verse number 20. And so I just have to start where God started. Amen. So I am going to, in the words of Pastor Miles, I'm going to read it slow because I want you to get this. So I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. I'll be reading Jude chapter 1. It's only one chapter, verses 20 through 25. And it reads, "But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you to eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love, and you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to steal others, but do so with great caution, hating the sin that contaminates their lives. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him, who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen." I just want to read verses 24 and 25 in the King
Version, just because it's still good news.
"Now unto him who was able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." Amen. Amen. Tonight's title is "The Only Wise God." The Only Wise God. The book of Jude is structured into five sections. It has the greeting, the purpose of the letter, a warning against intruders, a call to faithfulness, and it concludes with a doxology. This single chapter book takes us from hello to be careful in a matter of two verses. The initial intent of this letter was to proclaim our salvation in Christ Jesus, that it became a letter of instruction and commanding our attention to the division disrupting the church. My God, Jude writes eagerly to let believers know there are some amongst you who look like you, dress like you, may even sound like you, but their actions and their teachings are not from God, making them not like you. Jude goes on to tell them how they should handle such people who are now teaching in the church. So for my note takers, I'm going to be real Baptist tonight. All I have is 3 points, and I'll give you my 3 points in the beginning. They are disposition, opposition, and recognition. Again, they are disposition, opposition, and recognition. These are our points for tonight's teaching: disposition, opposition, and recognition. So Jude says, "But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith." In your most holy faith. Not in our common faith, not in our own strength, not in our own ideas. We are called to build each other up in the full fullness of God in the most holy faith. The manner in which we are called to build each other up is a blameless building. When we encourage each other in from our most holy faith, we are an extension of God and God. did in my most holy state, staying in the power of the Holy Spirit. The things I must be sacred and consecrated, sacred and set apart, clean and pure in my most holy Spirit. It says that you must come right in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy is clean. Holy is pure. Holy is consecrated. It is set apart. And oh, I have good news. But ghost in this sentence, ghost in this passage, it does not mean you don't mean your disposition. You got to have a disposition. Through. Disposition is our tendency to act a certain way. To act a certain way in a certain manner under given circumstances. Oh, it says it's our tendency to act in a certain manner under given circumstances, which means that when things change, my disposition sometimes changes. It means when things happen, disposition, because it's saying that when things come in, you've got to be in your most holy place, in your holy faith, calling on the holy God from the place of the Holy Spirit, God in the name of Jesus. So that means my disposition to change, to move my place. I can't afford to move where I am.
In my mind,
focus and stay on God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. So that means that when things begin to change around us, whatever you begin to face, my mind
has to stay holy. My heart has to stay holy. My feet has to stay holy. Because if I want God to move, I got to come to God with God. Judas begged to the people, let your mental disposition be made holy, that when things come in, you won't be moved. Oh, I'm reminded of the text that says that don't be moved by every wind of doctrine, that when stuff comes in, you can't find yourself being tossed to and fro. You got to be steadfast and unmovable. All things are bounding in the work of the Lord. You got to hold on to an unchanging hand. Did not take God in the name of Jesus. And so it says, I am a holy God. I pray with right motives for those who are not in the faith around you.
And again, this is prayer for those who are not in the faith.
Not who you love and adore.
Confess. Those who don't know who you say you don't like, this is a prayer for those who have yet to come and assimilate into your belief. God, in the name of Jesus, let us move from the place of where prayer is only for those who we love to pray for those who we don't even know yet, God.
And so, just for reference, I want you to also know that it's also not saying that we got to pray and speak by speaking in tongue and unknown languages. This is not what this verse is saying. This verse is letting you know that we must pray in a position, in a disposition of being in God's presence. It's not about the unknown language that's going to change it, but it is about the condition of your heart and how you come to God that will change the outcome.
We are commanded that our position in the that we must be in instead of in our minds for God's view. This is a condition of our heart. That means my heart has to be in the right place. That means that my mind has to be focused on God. And all of who I am must be submitted to the leading of God for my witness to be effective. strong disposition. In the name of Jesus, God, we come. We come. We come right now, Lord God, and we thank you. Because we're going to get our disposition, right. We thank you. My disposition. Jude has written this letter of warning, discussing how these intruders will cause division. Then he instructs the people
to the opposition. Those who are not like you, who are wavering in faith. He doesn't say get on the phone and talk about. He doesn't say draw your own conclusions about their life. He doesn't say write them off. He doesn't say you can abandon them. He doesn't even give you.
What he does say. He says, show mercy, not reject, not call somebody and talk about them, not make your own stance and your own position, but show mercy. Mercy is to be compassionate, showing divine grace, to take pity on them. And after you have shown mercy, he says, rescue them by snatching them from the flames of judgment. This tells me we should all be like first responders. When I see you slipping, when I can visibly see that you are not in a place of holiness, dwelling with God, when I can see that your life is beginning to take an alternate path, I am not supposed to move off impulse or without strategy, but my actions are intentional to remove the person from whatever is trying to overcome them. We should all be the same, be the first to be on the scene. When we see someone is not following God, we should be skilled in how to restore life to someone who's about to give up on life. Jude is saying this compassion cannot just be for those you say you love, but these extreme acts are to the very people who are opposing you. The opposition. We are called to snatch them from the flames. Show mercy to them. The opposition is a group of adversaries or competitors. It is the opposed position. And if I may interject the words of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ right here, he says, pray for your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully misuse you. If you only do good to your friends, what makes you different than anyone else? One of the major issues with as the body, we can see the sin identified in whatever somebody else does. And we can move quickly from identifying sin to a place of condemnation of the person who we have gathered the evidence against based off of our measure of what was enough evidence to determine what sinful acts they had committed. Oh, but we leave no room for them to stumble. Oh, when they've committed an act, we have already thrown the book at them and determined where they are. But yet when we stumble, we give a grace. We begin to say immediately, when I was acting that way, I was acting just a bit off. Oh, it was while I was a little bit out of that place, I was just not myself. We allot ourselves a lot of grace and a double portion of mercy. We then go back for more grace and even more mercy. And sometimes we still don't change our behavior. Our attitude still remain the same, but yet we will confess quickly. We are still the people of God. We are still God's own. We are the holy elect. We are his royal priesthood with no change. But yet, when we see the opposite and we see the opposition, we have no mercy. We have no desire to snatch them. I'll share a personal story with you. One of the hardest things I have ever had to endure in my life was figuring out how to live life without my daddy.
My father's final conversation with me was him saying, I don't know what is going to happen to me. And I need to know that if something does happen, that you can be self-sufficient. I did not choose independence on my own. Independence was chosen for me. And so my entire life, I've lived in opposition of my father's wishes. He said, don't join the military. I called my mom and said, I need you to sign my enlistment papers. He said, don't go to school out of state. It's a great opportunity, but it's a great opportunity for anybody except for you. I took his Social Security number, and I had him co-sign for a student loan, financially enrolled, walked in the house smiling, and said, everything is all right. I packed my bags, drove out of state, went to the same school he told me I shouldn't go to, had a car accident, totaled out the car. He had to buy the plane ticket, fly me back home, then replace the same car that I said I was just in that I totaled out. And with no money, I picked out a bigger car, the car I wanted because I knew I could. When I left the boot camp, he drove me to the airport, walked me until he couldn't go any further, stood at the end of TSA, watched me get to my terminal. I looked back and saw him looking at me, but it was still a decision I had made in opposition to his decisions. Even though I made the decision, I sat down and waited on the plane, cried from Shreveport, Louisiana, all the way to San Antonio, Texas, all the while saying, I just want my daddy. All I wanted in that moment was my daddy, who was looking back at me. Oh, but he still was present at every graduation, even in my refusal to say a 2008 car was beneath me because the 2009s were already on the car lot. All he did was take it, and he paid for it. Knowing I would not protect it, he paid for the maintenance in advance so the car could be taken care of. But all of this was being done in opposition of his wishes, and that same car he bought, I did not go home that night, made him stay up waiting on me to return, not knowing what was going on, in opposition of him. But he let me pursue all of my own ambitions, and might I add, my lack of ability to pay for many of these ambitions did not stop him from snatching me up when my own decisions put me in the place of where I was about to go down, somewhere that was not necessary. So if we are in a place where we can look at relationships and not base our proximity, but if I see you, and even though I know it's in opposition of God's word, I got a mandate to snatch you. I got a mandate to come and say, though you are following your own desires, let me help you and let me do it in love.
Ooh.
He says, do it in love. Do it in a place in which they know that it's not from the place of hard judgment. But I'm snatching you from a fiery judgment, that because where you were headed to a place that was going to cause condemnation. You were headed to a place that you had no return. So let me snatch you. Jude says, show mercy to steal others, to steal them. This means that my God-like kindness has the ability to stop some stuff from transpiring for someone. This means that while we may have started off as the opposition, once mercy shows up, the person has the opportunity to be still, and we can go in a place from being on the opposite side to being in the same position. I have to return to my first question tonight. What happens if my disposition is not holy? How can I push you from opposition to same position if you don't have the right disposition? Because all things work when we get in a place. And so I have to interject the temple, the tabernacle, how it was built. You had the outer courts. You had the brazen altar. You had the bronze laver. You had the most, you had the holy place. You had the showbread. You had the golden lampstand. You had the veil. And beyond the veil was the holies of holies. And right now we're in a place where the veil no longer exists, where we are called and commanded to go into the holies of holies. We are mandated to be in his presence. We're mandated to be at the place where his mercy abides. If we get to that place, we have our disposition established by God. And whatever so we may ask, he said it will be according to his right with God, then that means opposition is never a factor. Opposition never has any place. If my position and disposition in God, if my mind is toward him, my character is toward him, if I am endowed in the God-likeness of his nature, that means that whatever stands as opposition has no meaning, no factor, no ability to interact and interfere with what God is calling. But maybe we have not settled our disposition to move past what was once an opposition. But we have to get our disposition correct. And so my final point, Jude concludes this letter with recognition and prayer and praise to the only wise God, to the one who is able to keep you from falling, to the one who has the ability to present you glorious without a single fault. David said, I was born into sin, shaped in iniquity. But we have an assurance in recognizing that the one who saved will surely make me blameless. The one who called me will restore me. The one who established me will settle me, will leave me without a single fault, who will make us completely clean. He will not do a half work, but a whole perfected work. He says without a single fault, he'll present us. And we get our disposition right, and we move to a place of love with the opposition. And so while Jude may not have penned this letter, he may not have penned this salvific letter that he had intended, and still gives the good news of the promise for those who have confessed, he still gives a message of salvation in these concluding two verses. He still makes the promise and makes the assurance that we know that because of Christ Jesus, we have a salvation that will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We have a salvation that is established by God. We have a place in him where our posture must be dependent and reliant, but because he's called us with a holy calling. We have a glorious place in his presence, the one who knew what we would do and knew how we would do it. Oh, the one who already knew every single sin that we would create and what we would cause. He knew everything, every deed that we would do in this body. Oh, he knew all the things, every decision we would make. He knew every time that we would make a decision that would go contrary to his word. But yet he says, I'll present you without a single fault. Oh, he knew every way in which we were going to go our own way. And he still says, I'll present you in a glorious presentation without a single fault. Oh, every single thing that we've done, we may have had some wrong ideas, had some wrong words, had some misunderstandings, but he still says, with my gloriousness, I'm going to present you without a single fault. God, we thank you that it is only you who can present us without fault, God. It is only you who can make us blameless in your presence, the only wise God, the only one who is able to keep us from falling, the God who is able to watch over our souls, the wise God who knew what was required for the life to be redeemed back to him, to the God who created us in his image and in his likeness, to the God that never sleeps, nor does he slumber, to the God that said, I knew you in your mother's womb. Oh, to the God who called us with a holy calling, to the God that said, I'll pour out strongholds on your behalf, to the God that said, I'm a keeper and I watch over you, the God that said, I called you and I know you, I know all that I have established for you, the God who said, I'll make no mistakes and everything becomes possible in my path. Oh, God, we thank you right now, God. This is the only wise God, the only wise God. Oh, the only wise God, the only God who knew how to take a sinner and make them blameless, the only God that knew how to take something that was on the way to hell and make it heaven bound, the only God that knew how to take something that was about to be destroyed and make it indestructible. Oh, God, we thank you Behold, all things have become new. God, we thank you right now, God, the only wise God. The amount of wisdom that it takes in order to ensure that you have life, that when this corruptible can put on the incorruption, oh God, in the name of Jesus, it sounds like wisdom. He said that there is an appointed hour that no man knows, but I have a place established for you. I'm going to build a place for you, for in my Father's house, there are many mansions. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. We give you recognition that, God, no matter what took place, you can change our disposition. You can conform the opposition. And so in all things, we give you recognition to the God that said that he alone is God, glory and majesty, power and authority, dominion before all time, in the present time, and beyond all time. Amen. God, you are only God. You and you alone, God. So, God, right now we thank you that you let us have a disposition that shows your likeness in us. Move us from viewing each other as opposition to being able to see each other in the same position. For your word says such was some of us. Such was some of us, God. We have not always had it figured out. We have not always maintained the same status. So, God, let us not forget that it was someone who came along at some point, saw the fire gathering around us, and snatched us out. God, we thank you right now, God, that, God, when you settle us, give us a place and a posture where we would recognize and give you the recognition that is due your name. We honor you right now, and we thank you, for you are holy. You are righteous, God. You are forever and evermore. You are Alpha and Omega. You are our beginning and our end, God. You are the way maker, God. So, God, right now, any person who came on tonight, God, and we didn't have a proper disposition, we pray that right now, God, that you have moved us to a place and a posture back in you, God, that we would rest in the place of the holies of holies, God, seeking your face, and that we would love all those who are around us, God, no matter their condition, God. We understand that your word says to not even touch the garment, God, but in the name of Jesus, God, let us be able to do so in love, God, to do so and show mercy, that when we show mercy, it will steal them, God, and they will have the capacity to pursue you with everything that is within them, God. So we honor you right now, and let us move forward in boldness, God, to do your work and to do your will. We love you, God. We honor you, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Dr. Clay, back over to you.
Dr. Clay? Amen. We thank you for your word this evening. We're going to open up the mics if there are any comments on Zoom as well as on the phone line. Any comments? The phone lines are open. Zoom is open. Hallelujah. Any comments?
Amen. This is a very well said. I could probably talk about our disposition, and you know, it's just amazing how even today, even back then, the enemy is always trying to creep in, get in, attack. You know, just anything and everything, any kind of idea, any kind of whatever to come in. But yet we're able to keep ourselves and identify these things because if we look to Christ first, look to the Holy Spirit first, then we'll be all right. Thank you. Good sermon. Amen.
Amen.
Is there another? Is there another? 512, we just opened a few, open up your mic, and 313, we just opened up yours.
I would like to say that was a very powerful word. And a disposition is very important. Things happen in the course of our lives, and God is shaping and guiding and protecting us. And we have to be receptive of what God is, how he's leading us, and make the appropriate choices. And anyway, I thought it was a very good word and I could relate to. Thank you.
Amen.
Hear another? Mic's open. All you have to do is just talk.
Hi. I would just like to say that, first of all, it was a pleasure hearing Sister Wilson speak this evening. I appreciate the group giving her the opportunity to do so. But I also like to say I just love how the Lord, in spite of our disobedience and our disposition and the things that we do that are not in line with his will, how he still continues to give us chance after chance and opportunity after opportunity to get it right.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Ms. Rose. I love you. God bless you.
I love you, too.
Hello?
Okay. Yes, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, I am in Mississippi, and it's amazing. I'm in awe always of how God moves. The word was right in what I'm experiencing, and it's amazing how my own church service did not, we weren't able to, I wasn't able to connect today, tonight, to go to my service tonight, and I got this invitation to come, and I said, well, oh, yeah, at least I get to hear the word because I love the word. And it's amazing how God moved me to be at this right moment to get the right now word to encourage me based on what I'm going through. And I love the way how he confirms his word, you know, through his people. And so I enjoyed, oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, it refreshed my spirit tonight based on what I'm going through. So I thank the Lord for using you, Minister Asher, as well as using this platform, this body of people to get the word out. So I really, really, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
I love you, Miss Sharon. God bless you.
Amen.
I love you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Your mic's open. I have to do Mr. Terrence, I believe you're trying to speak to you. You must be on mute. We can't hear you. Mr. Terrence, you're on mute.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, praise the Lord, because I had my other phone on Zoom, so I was trying to watch, and then I was trying to listen on my other phone. You know, when you were preaching about opposition, first of all, I was thanking the Lord for you as a woman of God who is willing to stand on God's word. And when you gave them 3 points about the only wise God, I said, you know, people don't like to hear about opposition. And I thought about how Adam and Eve was. They had an opposition with God. And Satan always misdirects us. And oftentimes, because when he sends that misdirection, we just go with the flow. But I praise the Lord that you brought that out about how we got to stay focused. We got to we gotta know that there are positions out there and that we as saints going to face our positions. But we got to be true to the calling, trust God, and focus on his plan and not our plan. And no, just like, you know, Paul and Apollos, I thought about it. We can plant the seed and somebody else can water. We can't get caught up in the things that the enemy try to lead us to because it only leads to destruction. So I said, praise the Lord, woman of God. I'm going to go back and listen again because I like how you was bringing everything out and you was just so strong and powerful for it. And I could talk about every point that you was bringing out. And then something else I realized, and I'm going to say this, I realized you weren't just talking about something you heard about. I believe when you were talking the word of God, it was something you had experienced personally for yourself. So you that you know. So can't nobody tell you, I know that I know. So I just pray for the Lord for your honesty and your sincerity and your love for God. So praise the Lord, my sister. I will keep you and your family lifted up. Amen.
Thank you so much. Elder God bless you.
Pastor Miles, praise you, my sister, and Dr. Suzanne. Amen.
Yes. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I appreciate it. Are there any prayer requests before we conclude? I know I appreciate all of the accolades, but I do not want to leave without taking prayer requests if there are any.
Hey, I'd just like for you to pray for me and my family. I lost my mother back in May, and I just want to pray for family unity and togetherness, and just the Lord to just to continue to strengthen the family unit as a whole.
Yeah. God, right now we come praying for the Sims Powell family, God, that right now in the name of Jesus, God, that every place where there was something that tried to keep creeping, every place of opposition, God, every obstacle, every obstruction, Lord God, anything, oh, Lord God, that tried to be a character of division, Lord God, right now we ask that you would shift it, Lord God, that, God, that right now you would unify them with the bond of love, God, the bond of complete perfectness in you, Lord God, that, God, right now every mind would think towards you, God, that would hope towards you, and that they will maybe able to be unified, oh, Lord God, in the fullness of you, Lord God, that the absence of the mother would not cause them to be absent from each other, Lord God, but, God, it would bring them together that they may be able to hold each other up, God, and stand firm on what she has deposited inside of them in her years of living, Lord God. So, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, let no person begin to try to compete with the other, Lord God. Let no division take place, God. Let them even still be able to honor their mother, Lord God, and come together, Lord God, in recognition of who she was to them, God. So, God, right now, Lord God, sanctify them. Mind, Lord God, purify the hearts of them, Lord God, and God, most importantly, be a comforter, Lord God, as they grieve, God, and adjust to life in this new normal, Lord God, without the dependency of their mother, without the reliance of her laughter, God. God, in every way in which she calls them to grow together, Lord God, let the memories keep them connected, Lord God. Let the love that she showed them, that she taught them, God, be their bond that they rely on, God, in the name of Jesus, God. So, God, right now, sweep through the entire family, Lord God, and any type of thing, Lord God, that would try to be in that family, God, that you would remove it, you would snatch it out right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God, and you would deposit your presence, God, in that place, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you that you make them whole in you, God. We thank you that all of them have a confession of faith in you, Lord God, right now, in the name of Jesus, God. So we thank you, Lord God, for the healing, Lord God, that you will do, Lord God, the sanctification you will do, God, and the ability to have a peace of mind, God, right now in the fullness of you. Let your presence begin to sweep, Lord God. Let the mighty rushing wind of the living God come and blow upon them, Lord God, that you would move all of the debris, Lord God, that was once in their lives, God, and only your spirit will last, God. We thank you and we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Is there another?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. So thank you so much for teaching and for sharing with us and blessing us. We really appreciate that. We appreciate your obedience to the Lord. You're an excellent teacher. Excellent teacher who uses you. And blesses us through you. Praise God.
My comments on to you, Minister Estrell, is, you know, I like, you know, how you brought out the three points: disposition, opposition, and recognition. And you know what I learned from you is that we all have a disposition, and if our disposition is not right, it turns into an opposition against God. And until we fall so many times and that we get tired, that we have no choice but to turn it into recognition of who God is in our lives. So, you know, when I look at those three, you know, I tie those three together and they work hand in hand. And you know, every knee shall, you know, or every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, you know, who God is. We have to who God is. So I do thank you for such a powerful message and being the body of Christ. This is a kingdom problem that we have. We're trying to get it right. We're trying to get it right because, you know, this is what God has placed on our hearts and our spirits and given us a purpose, and we're just trying to get it right. And to the point where, I mean, once we recognize who God is, we get closer to our Lord and Savior. So I thank each and every one of you who have come on. There's so many numbers on, so many out-of-state numbers, and we thank you, even though if you did not say anything. I thank you so much. Also, Pastor Robinson, so good to see you on the line. Thank you for coming on and joining. We are praying for you as Pastor Robinson. I know you did say pray for challenges, but he wants the body to pray for him. In closing, Minister, ask for prayer, you know, for you and family, and he's been going through some challenges. And you know what, body, you know, arms, legs, feet, you know, all of the body, whatever part that you play, you know, we all have challenges in our lives. Yeah. All have challenges in our lives. There's going to be, you know, so many things that come against us. You know, if we don't have problems, then, you know, in our lives, if we don't have challenges in our lives, we need to have our relationship with Christ. Because when Jesus Christ walked this earth, you know, he went through nothing but challenges. But what he has told us in the end, that we're going to have the victory. So we're not looking at the storm. We're looking at after we get through the storm, how much bigger, how much greater that we're going to become from those challenges that we were able to overcome. So may God bless you. May God bless you. And thank you so much.
Amen.
Dr. Clay, you know, do you have any last comments? And, you know, and Minister, you know, Esther, if you would close us out in prayer. Thank you so much. The doxology you gave, I use it every day. I use it every day. It was right on time, you know, ministry, you know, we have a call to me ministry, a prayer line that we have every morning at from 8 to 9 with Mother Gloria, who is not on now. She's suffering from COVID, you know, so please keep her in prayer. And it seems to be overtaking a lot of families, you know, nowadays. So please do that, ma'am. You close out in prayer again. Thank you so much.
Okay. God, we thank you right now for being God. We thank you, Lord God, that holy is your name. But we most importantly, God, right now and tonight, we just want to come saying thank you for being the God who is able to do whatever we stand in need of, Lord God. So, God, to those who are suffering from COVID, to those who are suffering with family issues, for those who are suffering from hurts and pains of the cares of life, he is able, he is able, he is able to present us without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He's able to present us without a single fault. He is able. So, God, we thank you that you are the God that is most able, the God that calls us, the God that establishes us, the God that settles us, the God that shows mercy, the God that draws us nearer. God, we thank you for just being God. We thank you, Lord God, for holding us in your bosom, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that as we draw near unto you, you draw near unto us, God. And even when we want to escape your presence, you still don't allow for us to go too far. So, God, we thank you, Lord God, that you meet us at our places of need. So, God, every family, Lord God, who is hurting, every person, Lord God, who is dealing with illness, God, we thank you that you begin to shift right now, Lord God. Let your spirit fall fresh, God. We completing the blood of Jesus, Lord God, over every individual, Lord God, who may have called in or connected, Lord God, with this ministry at some point, Lord God. We plead your blood from the crown of their heads, Lord God, to the soles of their feet, knowing that nothing has the ability to prevail against the blood. So right now, God, blood wash, blood cleanse, blood make us whole, God, that God, we do all things in recognizing that you are wonderful. We honor you. We praise you and we adore you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and praise God.
Amen.